Well, we just wanted to make you guys cry a little bit on Father's Day. So if you're wearing pink, that's not good enough anymore. You need to have a little tear running down your cheek, I think. So as you can tell, this is going to either give a couple of you a little anxiety when we bring these guys on the stage, or I want it to be a good thing. This is going to be a great thing, I think. We're going to do a Father's Day panel. The preacher in me is wanting to stand up, so I'm going to sit down and try not to stand up the rest of the time. But we're going to do a Father's Day panel. And panel sounds a little too academic, and so we're going to call it a Father's Day conversation. Because these guys, I know as a young father myself, that there is a wealth of wisdom. Not that they've figured it all out, not that they have all the right answers. They wouldn't tell you that. But they do have wisdom. They have life experience mixed with a relationship with the Lord that I think provides us wisdom and insight into how we can go about our lives. And so whether you're a father or not, my wife and I, we struggled with infertility for several years. And so just like we say on Mother's Day, I know that there's pain and hurt in the room if you're a desire to be a father, but you're not a father. And so whether you're a father or not, I think there is wisdom in what the Lord would have us to talk about this morning. And so we're trusting the Lord with that. We're trusting that it would speak to you, that the Lord would speak to you, and that you would be able to apply some of these things to your life. And so the preacher part of me says we can't have a Sunday morning without a little bit of scripture talk. And so I would like to just present something I was reminded of earlier this week in 2 Timothy. As Timothy is being written to by Paul, the Paul the Apostle, and in the first verse of 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul tells us his reason for writing to Timothy. He says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. A couple of things that we need to understand. Paul is not Timothy's biological father. He is a spiritual father. And so he is calling Timothy, or in just a moment going to call Timothy out, because Timothy is experiencing some timidity and some fear as he is now leading a people group. He is leading a church there in his local context. Verses 3 and 4 says, I thank God whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, both day and night. There's a first tip of a father, that you're constantly praying for those who are under your care. As I remember you in my tears, I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. I think that remember you in my tears, I don't think that that's an emotion that we as guys like to talk about or discuss very often, right? I think we want to put that away. We've been told to hide that, to push it back, to not experience those emotions. But I think it's a beautiful thing and something we've lost in our culture when guys can come together and to be able to discuss what's actually happening in life. To be able to say, I'm fearful of this. I have shame over this. I don't know what to do with this is a beautiful thing. And then to have the vulnerability to be able to discuss it with our child. That when we are fearful or when we're sad or we're upset, or we've been hurt, to be able to sit in an honest relationship with our child and to bring them into some of those emotions and teach them through that. And then he says, I'm reminded of you in sincere faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I'm sure dwells in you as well. And so what we do know, or what little we do know about Timothy's life, is that he didn't have a father figure present. And so it was his mother and grandmother that originally inspired him, that originally gave him the tools of being able to have a faith in Christ. And so Paul is banking on that fact. He's banking on the fact that he has faith, and now he's coming alongside to encourage. And this is what he says in verse 6. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you with the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. And so Timothy, again, timid, fearful, is now being encouraged by Paul. And so I think that's the beautiful thing that we as fathers, that as either biological fathers or spiritual fathers, get the gift of doing, is being able to encourage those who God has put under our leadership, being able to love those, being able to serve those, being able to show them what sincere faith looks like, being able to show them what power based on the Spirit of God looks like, being able to show them what love and self-control can look like in our lives. And so it's a beautiful thing. It's also a very heavy thing, a very hard thing, to be able to take on the weight and burden of being a father. And so wherever you find yourself this morning, again, I think these guys are going to be able to help maybe just provide some wisdom and insight, some funny stories, maybe some life stories that are able to speak into your situation and encourage you just that you're not alone, simply enough. One of the greatest things that Jack London, who's that guy right there, wanted to just encourage me with when Braden was not sleeping. If you have a young kid, you know exactly what this is like. You get 2 hours and you're like, man, that was the most restful night of sleep I've ever had. And so Lexis and I were at our wit's end, and every time Braden just had this shrill type of scream, and it would, something inside of me would just set me off. And so Jack literally told me, he goes, dude, you got to have an outlet. You got to be able to have something. And so what my outlet was to go and to grab a pillow and just scream as loud as I possibly could into that pillow. And so if you've been there, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And so that was a beautiful thing. And so he just said, you got to have something. You got to let it out, or else it's going to continue just to build and build and build, and you're not going to like the result of that. And so just something very practical. I knew that he had been there, and so I took his advice. And so these guys, again, are not up here because they have it all figured out. They wouldn't tell you that, but I do think they have some practical wisdom. And so I'm going to start asking them questions, and I'll stop talking myself. So even in the green room, I think all of them were like, I don't really want to do this. And so I think that shows their personality just a little bit. And so we'll start with an easy question. It's not really that easy of a question. What was your experience like growing up with your father? And what were maybe one or two things that you would have liked to take or that you took from your relationship with your father into the raising of your kids? Actually, I've gone off script. They're already out of order. I'm out of order. Would you guys mind just introducing yourselves real quick? Telling us what you do and your kids and your wife.
Sure. My name's Andrew Abraham. I'm a physical therapist. My wife is Trina Abraham, and we have three daughters. One is 21, one is 19, and one is 13. So it's me and all women. So a lot of lessons learned there, but we'll talk about that.
Similar. I am Jack London. I work at the Fishbowl. My wife is Jennifer, and I have a 19-year-old daughter, Abigail, and a 23-year-old daughter, Hannah.
And my name is Todd Brackens. I'm a pharmacist, been a pharmacist for 38 years almost. Done different things other than being a pharmacist, but I have a daughter, 34, it's hard to believe, son, 31, three grandkids, and my wife, Kimberly, and I, we did our best raising them.
All right, you guys. So the question was, what was it like growing up with your father? What things did you want to carry into your relationship with your kids?
Yeah. So I grew up, a lot of us in that generation, our dads were, went to war. My dad is still a, he'll tell you, a Marine. He's a Marine Corps guy. He's a naval aviator. He flew jets, flew helicopters, went to Vietnam, was shot down, saved his a crew member, earned a Purple Heart. So that's kind of what I grew up in, right? But he never really talked about that much. But he was a successful pharmaceutical sales rep for his whole career. And I remember it being a good home. I never really thought, hey, my dad's, he had to travel some for work, but never thought, he's never around. But he was always there. I think that was the main thing I took away, was he had to work hard, provide for us, and he always came back and was faithful to my mom. We were always in church, so that was very important to our family. And I came to Christ at a young age at Northside Baptist Church in Carmel, Indiana. But it was just, that was sort of the what we did.
So for me, my parents and I, our faith walk started about the same time. It would have been when I was in my early 20s at college. So what I took away from my parents wasn't a home that was at church or in prayer, but there was a lot of integrity and a lot of work ethic in my home. So I would say that's what I took away from my parents early on.
Yeah, I would say mine is similar, but the differences are my parents are both Egyptian and immigrated to America because of religious persecution. So faith was a very big deal I remember at Christmas, we would have to have an hour and a half like prayer meeting before opening gifts. And I was like, can we just be like other Americans and just open our gifts? So there was this really strong current of faith first and integrity. But also because my parents were immigrants, they felt like you had to work hard and be tough. And so there was a lot of pressure in that. And I think there was some fear in it. So when I would come with ideas or things, my dad felt like he needed to show me all the ways it could go wrong. So, you know, growing up, or when my kids were growing up, I tried to remember that and be a little bit more supportive. But I mean, I'm not talking bad about my parents. My dad was a great dad. So, but that's just my background.
I will be the guy that will like to pick out the negatives. Lexus is constantly going, hey, why are you giving me 10 things that are wrong before you give me one that might actually work? And so that speaks to me of everything that we say and do is taken in and seen by our child. And so it's important for us to be able to encourage them. And so like Paul does with Timothy, as he grows, as he's speaking to him, as we just read, he's trying to encourage them. And so what did you guys see, or as your kids grew up, how did you speak kind of to that identity piece or the identity part of their relationship with Christ? How did you encourage them in faith?
Yeah. You asked some really thoughtful questions, some very deep thinking ones, but, best I could as a human, try to demonstrate unconditional love and grace. That's hard to do sometimes when they're small or teenagers and they're not listening to you. I think we're going to get to that later, but that's kind of how we tried to show them Christ and give them that identity, but when we couldn't as humans, hey, God loves you regardless, and we want to do that too.
For me, I think you can't give what you don't have. So the most impactful times for me personally are those times where I stepped away to be quiet before the Lord, to listen, to receive. Like I said, you can't give what you don't have. I also want you guys to walk away with a little bit of grace. I think Bob Goff says being a Christian is like building a plane while you're flying it. So we're all learning as we go.
Yeah, it's pretty revealing. I would say I didn't get this right early on. I am a perfectionist by nature. I like to think a recovering perfectionist by nature, but perfectionist by nature. And so I felt like my kids needed to do everything perfectly, the way Christians are supposed to. And it created a very not pleasant atmosphere in our home, to the fact that when my older girls were 9 and 7, I had to take them out and apologize and just go look. And I mean, 9 and 7, they were like, okay, whatever, yeah, we forgive you. But it was more important for me and my wife to see that. And I think that started in my own faith journey of understanding that my faith journey was my faith journey and my kids' faith journey is their faith journey. So my responsibility was to talk with them about the Lord, engage, to model it, but I couldn't force them to do it. And for them to understand, hey, I'm here to help, your mom is here to help, but ultimately, you got to walk this road. You got to decide what you believe. So I don't know if that was right or wrong, but it has helped as we have all grown older together with some autonomy and some discussion. So.
Lead us right into that, the next question of it making it their own faith. I know that that was super important for me as a kid growing up. I know it'll be super important for Braden that we have to, as individuals, it can't be my parents' faith. It can't be anybody else's faith. It has to be my own faith. And a lot of that just comes through life experience. And so as they grew up, what were some of the challenges that you faced? Maybe a piece of encouragement to the parents that are got maybe a 20-month-old that they're not sure what to do with, and there's no instructions on the back, and they're like, how come he screams all the time, those types of things. Not speaking from personal experience or anything, or maybe for the parent that has a 4 to 5 or 6-year-old that is entering a new season with them going to school for the first time. What are just some practical things that you guys either picked up or maybe were encouraged to imply as your kids got older and the relationship changed and became tough to continue just to speak truth in them, because we all know that as we get older, we don't necessarily want to receive it. So what was there any practical advice or wisdom that you guys would apply in those situations?
Well, for one, I would say, I think Jack's already touched on it, you got to give yourself grace. You're not going to get it all right. I would say, Lord knows I haven't. And praise God that kids are resilient, because, you know, a lot of times Trina's like, they're going to end up in therapy if you don't chill out. And I was like, okay. So I would say give yourself some grace. I think one thing that I learned about probably when my oldest was, again, about 9 or 10 is, my kids, it's not their responsibility to be a reflection of me. You know, I bared a lot of burden of like, how are you acting in public? You know, like, I mean, I know parents are always like, how are you acting in public? You know, so that's a big burden for a kid to be a reflection of their parents. But what I realized was it was more important for me to be a reflection of Jesus to my kids. Like, that was the best thing I could do. So, you know, it allowed me to walk more humbly. And again, it's about lowering the temperature in your house. You know, if I come with the intensity of you're reflecting on me and you got to be perfect and you better stay between the lines, it creates a lot of tension in the home. And when I was able to go, Andrew, you're not perfect, and you're asking your kids basically to fill in the gaps that you have in your own life. So there was some self-reflection. I think that was, and again, I think Jack touched on it, was, you know, the saying is you can't pass on what you don't possess. So I learned that as a dad, I needed to get my stuff in order and just reflect Jesus to my kids. So
I asked my kids the question. I honestly think probably the right people to be up here talking about how I was as a father would probably be my children. Not me, because what I think I did well or that I did poorly may not be what they said. So knowing this was coming, I asked my girls that question and prepared for the worst. But what they spoke into wasn't so much what I intentionally did, which didn't do that all that well. Advent season every year, my wife's probably going, please don't tell, but we never make it through an Advent calendar on time. Usually Christmas Eve, we set them down, we're stressed, and we're like, we've got to finish this Advent calendar to feel like good believers. So my girls were like, none of that really stuck with us. What stuck with us is who you were on the back porch, who you were on a Jeep ride, how we talked about Jesus as we went through our day. I didn't realize that my girls were listening to my phone conversations. They were like, it's who you are on the phone with a friend. It's who you are on the phone with people that work for you. It's who you are not Sunday morning, but is that consistently who you are 7 days a week?
And I think you hit on it. More is caught than taught. You probably have heard that before. And, you know, despite some of the things that we speak out of our mouths, they're watching our behavior. Our kids, and we started fellowship 27 years ago. They were, you know, 8 and 11, whatever. And they saw us wrestle with stuff. And so being authentic, being transparent, you know, I think Andrew hit it too. You want to be present a perfect kind of a person. And it's okay to apologize to a kid. It's been a long time since our kids were that little, but we're getting to practice again with grandkids now. So hopefully we've learned some things along the way. But yeah, just think about, you know, those unspoken types of things. And day by day, you know, you just, you know, win the day and then go to the next day. Yeah.
That's good. I think, like I said, as a young father, looking at you guys and seeing your experience and just having lived life with you guys in a lot of different contexts, I think it's a really interesting window fatherhood is into our relationship with our Heavenly Father. So, anything that you'd like to share, or anything that maybe changed the way you think of God or Him as your Heavenly Father, based off of being a parent, being a father yourself?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's an appreciation for His unending patience. Yeah. Those who know me, especially my wife and kids, they know I'm very laid back, and I get, you know, stuff rolls off of me until I hit my point.
Yeah.
And then I snap. And I know that about myself, and Kimberly's a good check on that. She knows, like, yeah, you're getting to that point. But I know God's not like that, you know, so I try to put my, or imagine that that's, you know, I know that about myself, and I know the Lord forgives me and is always willing to remind me of that kind of behavior, but yeah.
I would say the Bible talks about us as fathers not getting it right, but that He always gets it right. So I'm reminded with my girls, fierce, unconditional love, regardless of what happens. I've sat on the back porch with them, and there's been something they've wanted to share or confess or concern that I might be disappointed, and it's never been the case. It always makes me love them more. If I ever get disappointed, it's disappointed for something, never in someone.
Yeah, for me, I mean, it was eye-opening. I've never thought of myself as a selfish person until I had kids, and then I realized pretty selfish. So that was one thing. But the other is I have a tendency to beat myself up. And so you talk about grace and God's love for us, and you think you understand it. And I would say now I still have a hard time wrapping my head around it. But having a child and understanding, like, that my kids mess up, but I still love them no matter what, and I would still do whatever I had to do. Yeah. So it was probably the closest reflection of God I've ever seen. When I think about how I feel about my kids, and I can look back and go, you know what? What would you do if your kid did this? Would you still love them? And I can go back and go, you know what? I know that the father still loves me. So, you know, I'm not saying run out and have kids so you understand God, but I'm just saying it really does. It really does help.
So that's not a pro tip, right? Okay, just wanted to clear that one up. That's good. As you guys think, it was reminded of me very quickly. Like, Scripture talks about, like, if your earthly father desires to give you good gifts, how much greater of a gift does your Heavenly Father desire to give you? And so He's speaking, that Scripture is speaking about salvation and faith in the gospel message, that there is a Heavenly Father who loves us enough to send His Son as a sacrifice to have all of His children, those who believe in their heart and profess with their mouth, to have a relationship with Him. And so, guys, we are got about a minute and a half left. And so any advice that you would give fathers, maybe something that you wish you would have known when you walked into fatherhood, that you would like to just pass on to someone else that you think would be encouraging or helpful to them?
I would say this. I read this in a Matt Chandler book, and I'm not going to get it exactly right, but he said, you know, when you have children, somebody has to make the sacrifice. Either you're asking your children to sacrifice development and stuff so you can go out and do everything you want to do, or you have to make a sacrifice personally so that your kids grow up to be the people that God called them to be. And that has stuck with me. I wish I would have read it before I ever had kids. I read it in the middle of having children, but I always think about that in situations with my kids. It's like, who's making the sacrifice right now for development. Not necessarily like every little day, but just in general. You know, who's making the sacrifice here?
For me, I think a couple of things. One is be where your boots are. Be present when you're with your family. As a dad, sometimes you have freedom. Sometimes you have to go to work, and there are certain times you have to go. Be present at work. Be present with your family when you're home with them. Make the time count. Redeem the time. The other thing is to outgrow your own theology. Whatever you think about God right now, where I am, His love is so much bigger than I thought it was when I started this journey. So be willing to carry all of that open-handed and know that everything you learn should point you to a God who's bigger, who's more in love with you than you ever could have realized. And I think, like we've said, just give yourself a ton of grace.
I think I would not beat myself up so much about having to like go to work and be gone, because you got to do that. I think Jack said that, and that's okay. I think sometimes in this culture, that's, you know, it's we're worried about that, and it's like, you know what, you if you're a dad, mom too, but you got to go to work. My generation, we had that song "Cats in the Cradle." Yeah, I know you guys know that. That was like the guilt trip song of all dads, right? You know, I'm gonna miss them when they walk, or but will at least be fed and have a roof over their head, you know. But you might miss that. But anyway, that was sort of the, you know, it's like, oh, I don't want to be that guy. Yeah. But it's okay. Kids are going to be okay. Yeah. Just come home, right? Yeah. Come home.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. I think the phrase that that I hear most often, Todd, kind of what you just spoke to, the phrase that I hear most often from guys when I have this conversation and they're able to kind of drill down, and it's a similar fear to me, is that there's shame, or there's regret, or there's a feeling of inadequacy. Kind of at the bottom level of all of this. And so there's a famous quote. I don't know who the author of the quote was, but and Google will tell you about 10 different people wrote it. So, but the quote is that men would rather not try than trying and failing at what they had tried to do. And so I think that has been a marker, at least as I have conversations with a lot of guys in all areas, not just in parenthood or fatherhood, but in all areas of their life. And so I think the solve to that, again, is having not only your Heavenly Father, who desires to give you good and gracious gifts, who desires to encourage you and love you and champion you, who has a plan and a purpose for your life, but it's also to have mentors, older guys in the faith, spiritual fathers, I guess you could say, that can encourage you, that can remind you that, hey, it's probably not as bad as you think it is. And can help you walk through that season of grief or shame or fear or regret or whatever it may be. But then also the gift that it is, I can't tell you how many times that I sit with someone else and their questions inspire my faith, right? That they weren't purposefully trying to speak into anything, but what God is speaking through them, what they're learning, encourages me. And so also having someone else that you can take and pour your wisdom that the Lord has given to you into is a really beautiful thing. So we set up this system of being encouraged and also encouraging. It's being a disciple and also being discipled. And so as a church, that's what we want to get back to. And so don't be afraid to come and ask these guys questions. Don't be afraid to seek out someone who can speak life and truth into you, because we all understand that life is difficult. It's not easy. It's not easy being a human. It's not easy being a father. And so take advantage of what the Lord has set up inside of the church to be able to encourage yourself and to speak life into you, so that you can also encourage those who trust in you. And so that's where we're at, guys. This was a very quick 28 minutes now. And so thank you guys for wanting to be up here. Thank you guys for being a part of it. And I hope that this was beneficial to y'all. I'm going to pray for us, and then we'll continue on with the rest of our service. Father, I thank you. I thank you for the good father that you are. I thank you for the desire that you have to speak truth and life and blessing into your children. And so, Father, I thank you for that. I thank you for doing the things that were necessary to be able to provide us with the opportunity to know you. to know the creator and the maker, the author of not just this universe, but the author and maker of our original stories, of the stories that you planted inside of our hearts. And so, Father, would you encourage us, for the fathers and mothers, for the adults, for the children that are in the room this morning, Father, would you encourage them? You know exactly what they're going through. You know exactly where they are. You know exactly what struggles and challenges and joys and heartaches that they have. And so, Father, would you speak to them? Would you remind them of who you are, the power that you possess, and the desire that you have to love and to care for them, not just over their lifetime, but every single moment of their life? Father, would you help us to press into that? Would you help us to know you and to love you and ultimately to desire to serve you? Father, we love you. We thank you for everything that you have done and are doing and will do in the future. Father, it's your name we pray. Amen. We have a good Father, and He desires to love us and care for us and have a relationship with us. And so if there's anything that we can do for you, myself and some of our elders will be down in the front of the stage after service. We'd love to talk with you, pray with you, whatever that looks like. I want to just always consistently say on repeat that there is no fear, there is no shame, that the ground at the foot of the cross is always level. And so whatever it is, whatever it may be that you are struggling with or wrestling with, we are here for it, and we would love to be able to pray with you and support you in any way that we can. So please don't hesitate to come up and talk to us. There is communion on either side if you would like to partake in that. Otherwise, you guys know what to do from here. Go love first. Have a great week of worship. We'll talk to you guys next week.